Ja.
Yeah, Micha, with the second update on the special report two about the Dutch mafia state, let's put it that way. Yesterday, I talked about Minc Kok in relation to the Kinnahan organized crime group. Listen to that audio. I should now add that Minc Kok, of course, is also synonym with Gladio. What is Gladio? Gladio was a so-called stay-behind network that was very secret. It comes down to that at that time, after the Second World War, it started, that they saw that Russia would invade and occupy Europe. So what they did was that they put all kind of secret arms depots on secret places, like in forests. People that stayed behind when the Russians occupied, in this case, the Netherlands, they could use these weapons to fight the Russians. That was basically the concept of Gladio. And these were huge arm depots with heavy, heavy weaponry. They have basically, very heavy weaponry. Well, Minc Kok, he had access to these depots. How this happens, I don't know. He got this weaponry, and he sold this on the black market. This was more weapons, basically, than Vladimir Zelensky now has in the Ukraine. Extreme amount of weaponry. Does that mean that the Kinnahan group had these weapons also? Well, that sounds very reasonable. Can you imagine Dutch weapons for the Kinnahan organized crime group? How realistic this is also corroborated, this theory, by what happened to journalist Koen Voskuil. I'm not sure if he was already with the AD at that time, but he started reporting on Minc Kok and the Gladio weapons. What happened to Voskuil? I don't remember exactly what happened, but I think you can still find on the internet very strange things happened to Koen Voskuil. I think that he even was taken hostage or something. I don't know exactly, but please check that out, what happened. So this can only be explained by criminal government involvement, one way or another. So this is again a link between the Kinnahan crime group and the Dutch government. By the way, Peter R. de Vries, he made a broadcast about Gladio. I remember that very well. Maybe Rob can still find it. It was a stunning broadcast. I remember that I was completely overwhelmed because remember, Peter R. de Vries could do great work. He was not a bad journalist, especially at that time. This Gladio reporting was completely flabbergasting. Peter R. knew things, and he even showed us the places where these weapons were hidden in the forest, as I remember it very well. It is just crazy, guys. I am just reporting. And then, of course, there is the role of the lawyer of Minc Kok, Adèle van der Plas, who I know very well. She always spoke in a very affectionate way about Minc Kok, my little Minky. That's what I remember that she talked. And she was also, of course, one of the main sources in my reporting on Joris Demmink. I don't know. I have no idea what Adèle van der Plas, the role is, and what exactly she was doing for Minc Kok, who, as far as I know, but who am I in this prison cell, is now in prison in Lebanon. Okay, this is, I'm just reporting. And then talking about Peter R. de Vries, because there's more to come. Because as I remember it now, I was thinking, of course, a lot about Jackie Hageman, who was, of course, as I could disclose last time, married to the founder of the Kinnahan organized crime group, who even learned Dutch. Well, as I now remember very well, that Jackie Hageman told me that Peter R. de Vries was the person who got her new husband, Louis Hageman, in jail. Jackie was always saying, "Peter R. de Vries is a criminal. He tricked Louis Hageman in jail." So this is completely stunning against the background that, of course, Jackie was married to the founder of the criminal crime group. Did Peter act for the Kinnahan organized crime group? Just asking the question. And of course, we also know that he acted for Nabil Bey, who was very close to Tagi. And Tagi was working for Kinnahan. By the way, Tagi was present. present, as I can now disclose, when Daniel Kinahan, who is now leading the Mafia, had his wedding in Dubai, on page 10 of the book of Nicola Tallant, we read the following: but there were even bigger criminals at Kinahan's wedding than Cashman and Morrissey. Later, leaked court documents from Holland would reveal that the largest cocaine barons in Europe, including Dutch criminal Guido Antagi, Chilean trafficker Richard Eduardo Riquelme Vega, aka El Rico, Italian mob boss Raffaele Imperiale, and Bosnian Aden Ganin of the notorious Dino and Tito cartel, were guests of honor at the Big Bash, that is, as I said, Kinahan's wedding. I am just reporting. So, and then we have another situation. That is about a guy called Martin Kok. I have no idea if he is related to Mink Kok, but people who follow the Dutch crime scene, they will know the name Martin Kok. On page 175 of the book, we read the following: as the Hutch faction was left reeling from several blows, the Hutch faction was another Irish mafia gang that was at war with the Kinahan group. Yeah, this is just how it is. So there are more than one Irish mafia organizations. So next to the Kinahan group, you had the Hutch faction. Well, in the beginning, they acted together, but then they split, as happened so often in mafia land. So as the Hutch faction was left reeling from several blows, the Kinahan mob began to circle their prey yet again. In late May, a Dutch crime website called Flinders Crime featured a random story about Gareth Hutch, a nephew of the Monk, the leader of the competing Hutch crime group, who it described as a police informer. A few days later, he was shot dead, this guy Hutch. Shot in the back of the head as he walked into his car in the North Inner City complex where he lived. The article about the 35 years old on this Flinders crime website, which also appeared in a photograph, who also appeared in a photograph carrying the coffin of his uncle Eddie Hutch, with his face circled in red pen, had been retweeted by @CSearsCrier, which was an account of Kinahan. It's disclosed in the book. Flinders crime was run by a blogger called Martin Kok, who was a convicted criminal and had spent lengthy prison terms in the Netherlands for, among other things, the killing of two of his former Poles. While the Netherlands is home to an active community of online crime sleuths, Kok was notorious for the reckless way he reported on gangland assassinations and named suspects, a practice illegal for the MSM in the Netherlands, who can only report on a suspect's name first, on the first name and the first letter of their surname. Why he was interested in a story about Gareth Hutch was very questionable. Kok would be shot dead on the outskirts of Amsterdam in December 2016, and at the time of writing, a Scottish man, Christopher Hughes, is charged with his murder. I don't know how to interpret all this, but it is of course stunning that we read now about this guy Martin Kok and his quite obscure site Flinders Crime. I remember very well, but I don't think it was ever so big. In this bombshell book, there is a link between Martin Kok and the Kinahan group also. So I'm just reporting at this point. And then again, I have to say something very important. I think that you all should order the book of Nicola Tallant. Maybe already Rob put a link on the Amazon. I don't know if it's on Amazon. I think everything is on Amazon, so this book should also be on Amazon. Order the book, but also please approach Nicola Tallant on her Twitter or at the Sunday World in Dublin or the LinkedIn, but I think Twitter is maybe the most appropriate, to ask her to expose all this in her newspaper and also to support Micha Kat, that has this Monday extradition hearing in Newry in Northern Ireland. Please, the message to Nicola should be, please support Micha. Dutch government helped create the KOCG. They want now to silence journalist Micha. Monday extradition hearing in Newry. Micha spent 9 months in prison. Do the Belfast judges also work for the Kinahan organized crime group? And And then there's another thing. There's now a hashtag going around. It's hashtag stop undercast stripe dash is called stop undercast dash or stripe killing undercast dash journalist. And that is that has been created to as a consequence of the killing of Shireen Abu Akleh, which is of course a complete. This is such a big story, also this killing of the Palestinian journalist. But please send also tweets about this with this hashtag to the international community, basically, to also stop imprisoning journalists, stop silencing journalists. They are killing me too. I'm just fighting for my life here in my prison cell in Northern Ireland. And yeah, maybe this book of Nicola Tallent came as a godsend, as a mystery out of heaven, because now it is completely shown that what the true nature of the Dutch government is. Of course, people who followed my work knew already all this from the Demmink case and the Westerberg case and all these other horrible situations. Now even with the COVID and Van Dissel and Hugo de Jonge, it goes on and on and on. There is no bigger crime organization than the Dutch government. But please, what can I do more than trying to bring the truth to you? Just as Shireen, of course, Abu Akleh did in the West Bank, the occupied territories there. Okay, this is my message at this point. Thank you so much, and please pray for me that everything will be okay on Monday. Oh yeah, I can say something else, which is very important. Thijs Stapel, which is my Dutch lawyer in the Westerberg case, who is now trying to get me the 1.6 million that I'm entitled to have as a ruling of the Dutch Supreme Court, forces the Dutch government to pay me, which of course they don't do, which is again proof of the mafia nature of the Dutch government. They don't even follow up their own rulings of their own Supreme Court. Can you imagine? How criminal is that? Yeah, that Thijs Stapel, he will be a witness in the trial on Monday in Newry. So that makes my position very strong. Can you imagine, guys, that now the Dutch government wants to have a journalist extradited? And on the extradition hearing, there is a witness that is going to testify that the Dutch government does not pay my the suspect, let's call me that, 1.6 million, because that same government does not live up to the rulings of their own Supreme Court. And what were these rulings about? About their own criminal judges. Yeah, well, I'm just reporting, people. Thank you so much also to Rob and everybody, and I hope